Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, we got a express version of Bomb this week. Black opinion is bad, motherfucker. My name is Amin Alhassan. That's Jason Madison. Due to some crazy travel schedules, we're only two that's gonna be on it this week. Damn it, we're gonna hold down the fort.
What's up with the Clippers, by the way? Like, on the basketball level, what's your honest opinion of? Are they even a playoff team? Right.
So I think I need to just, let me say this. Can it work? Yes, it can work. It's going to need a lot more structure. I'm not talking about a lot more structure on both sides of the ball. Offensively, because I went to Clippers Nets last week and I watched a couple of Clippers games during the week. And so Clippers Knicks, Clippers Nets, Clippers Mavs. Offensively, everything they run is a high pick and roll or 1-4 flat. And it's just who's running it at that point. That's it. The mother niggas don't be moving or nothing. So it's like, that ain't going to work offensively. And it hasn't worked offensively. I thought at first, like, oh, that ain't going to work like when you get to the playoffs. But that shit ain't even working in the regular season.
Because niggas is,
it's just too predictable. Niggas is like just packing up and walling up. The other thing is defensively, they want to start and play all four of those guys together with Zubac, which you could do because all four of those guys historically are better than average rebounders for guys their size. But that's all come in the context of, yeah, Russell Westbrook is a great rebounder. When he got Steven Adams there busting people's asses and shit like that, and they could just fly in or whatever, when you have a regular center and a regular power forward, you could do that shit. But none of them have that now. And Zubac isn't that great of a rebounder, that great of a box-out guy.
Not at all.
In order to create that kind of attention for them to be able to grab easy rebounds. Like, no, this is where you got to do this shit like from fucking high school. Where you got to put a body on somebody every possession. And they got to be on a what they call on a rope or whatever. Like, everyone's helping the helper. They're not doing any of that shit.
No.
And, yeah, they haven't had any practice time. They've been on the road. So I'm excusing some of that for now. But it's like, y'all better have a plan in place. Because, again, we all know vets don't like to practice. Like, you don't have that luxury. Y'all ain't going to be able to just play and figure this out. Now, it's the 26:30 mark. Let me text Jerv right now. There's a bossa nova happening right now.
Yeah.
But it's funny. People was asking me. All right, I guess we're back now.
Yeah.
And we're back. Well, actually, we're back from when we just started talking about my man from the Mavs, right?
Yeah.
So people were asking me, yo, what do you think? I'm like, what's not what I think? The nigga just said facts. He didn't, like, the only opinion thing he said, and I kind of disagree, is he said, when this shit doesn't work, you're going to try and swipe right on a different team, but ain't nobody going to swipe right on you, and you're going to be done. And I'm like, no, I feel like this nigga still got like three or four more teams in him.
He got at least two. He got
these
two.
Because like teams are desperate, man. Let's be real. Like teams are desperate, and there's an old NBA saying, it only takes one asshole, right? The clean version is it only takes one. But the actual saying is it only takes one asshole, meaning like, yo, you don't have to have 29 teams after you.
Right.
Oh, it takes one asshole. Like fucking, hey, who's gonna draft Robert Swift in the top 10? It doesn't matter, or Hasheem to beat number two overall, right? It doesn't matter that all the league was like, this nigga's a second rounder. All it took is one asshole to be like, you know what? I'll take him second. That shit fucked up the whole 2009 draft because everyone was banking on this guy's going to go, and that means we're going to have this guy available. And then as soon as to beat went, it pushed everything down. I'm like, oh, for us, we're like, we got a chance at Steph Curry? Yeah. Oh, shit. So...
Yeah, and I think it was crazy too because he put Harden Biz out there that I didn't even really know like
about
that.
The flying to Vegas.
Yeah, like
I'm gonna tell you what, that nigga was flying to the Bahamas,
right in the middle of the season.
Yeah, man, like just like on some, not even like we got 5 days off.
Yeah.
Like we played it like on Monday we play, on Tuesday we got a day off, on Wednesday we play again. This nigga on the Tuesday gonna go down to the Bahamas or go to fucking Vegas and shit, like so. That's some, like,
yeah,
I get it. Like, you can say, well, I get my job, I get my work done or whatever. But at some point, man, you're opening yourself up to, like, if this shit don't work, then niggas won't care. They're just going to point at that, right? It's that thing that you got to kind of, rightly or wrongly, you're dealing with, like, reputation. You're fighting reputation. And when you're, because this is a sport where almost every year you failed, right? Like when we talk about superstars,
right?
Like this nigga Steph Curry's got four, but he's played. This is his 14th year.
Yeah.
Four out of 15, right?
Yep.
LeBron, he's got four, but he's played 21. So you're always going to, unless you Magic Johnson, where it's just like,
yeah,
oh, you know, every year in. I'm doing.
Yeah.
everyone's dealing with like a shit ton of failure. The last thing you want to do is give them a reason, like an easy reason to shit on you. Not because, man, the West is hard, or, you know, man, like my teammates, like, you know, got hurt, whatever. They'll be like, no, nigga, because you out here doing this shit, man.
No, and that's a fucked up thing, because even in bro's rant, like he skipped past all, you know, Chris Paul getting hurt, them, the Rockets playing better teams, like all of that gets lumped up into you couldn't do it now. You know what I'm saying? Now it's the narrative instead of like looking at it for what it really was year by year. Like you're saying, most people is not going to get it done. You know, most guys is not going to get rings like that. But James now has a narrative because he got all this other shit with him, you know? And so that's a funny thing too, is that you look back at certain guys like Rodman, who end up with a bunch of rings, decided to like play more deferential roles. They got older. I mean, you could look at Meta World Peace, Iguodala, other cats. Like, and I think James, like, and Russell Westbrook, both their original sin is feeling like I'm the man. So instead of realizing like, look, bro, if you just play a deferential role on a good team, like maybe y'all could really get somewhere, but niggas don't feel like that.
At the same time, by that, like, I'm glad you brought up Russ.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, when their careers are over, people are going to say, you know what? Russ could have deferred, but that motherfucker left it all out there. He's going to walk around, and people are going to respect his career.
Right.
They might, like, you know, especially as time goes by. In the moment, people always shit up. Oh, this nigga shoot too much, all that shit. But over time, I mean, same thing with Iverson. It's like now, no, you can't find a single person saying bad shit about Iverson.
Right.
When the nigga's playing, oh, he's inefficient. He's this. Oh, he won't accept a lesser role, whatever. So I think Russ, as time goes by, people are going to re-respect him again, and he's going to be remembered fondly.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case with James, man.
Like, but you know, but I'll say this, though. Like, and as they were playing the Clippers, I was talking to the homie, and he was mentioning how Luka says that, you know, he admired James Harden and he got a lot of his game from James Harden.
Yeah,
he did. James kind of pioneered a style of basketball. That step back, that dribble through, that
he did.
That Euro, like all of that stuff.
I'm not saying what he did do. I'm saying what he's going to be remembered for.
Right.
They're not going to remember him for the greatness. They're going to remember him for the shenanigans. In the same way that, like, I think Lamar Odom was as great a player as you can be without ever being an all-star or all-NBA. But, like, this is one of them dudes where it's, like, super talented, super versatile, great teammate, help win championships. But his lasting legacy is Stephen A. Smith, who was on crack. Like, that's how he's going to be remembered.
Right.
And it's fucked up, but it's like, nigga, that's why you got to kind of keep your shit together.
Right.
Image-wise.
Chloe also got a crazy roster. Getting back to that's
another one where the come up, right? Because she started with, you know, remember who she started with?
Who?
Rashad McCants. That was that was number one.
Wow.
And he got like the version 1.0.
Yeah.
Factory everything. None of the upgrades or updates, any of that, right? So, but yeah, man, this is it matters. Like, I know motherfuckers think they make mad money and they do whatever the fuck they want, whatever. Shit don't matter. That shit matters, man. It matters how you remember Steve Francis, man.
Right.
That nigga's, here's the crazy thing. Steve Francis, everyone thinks that nigga's broke. That nigga rich, man. Like, he's got all his money because he invested in like real estate in downtown Houston and shit. Like, that nigga's, he's doing well for himself money wise. Health wise.
Yeah,
he looks crazy, right?
He looks terrible.
And so, like, that's what people think about. They don't think about, like, oh no, it's actually the niggas.
What was in the water in Houston? Because fucking Coutinho Mobley got gray real early too. What's going on?
I saw him at the Big Three in Dallas like 3 years ago. I might have been 4 years ago before pandemic, and I was shocked. Cause the nigga looks so old.
Nigga look old as fuck.
He looks like white. 60. That shit is white. It's not gray. It's just white.
Yeah.
Nigga look. Yeah. I mean, his hair is whiter than fucking Red Fox's was. Red Fox at least had some grays and some dark patches. This thing was just straight white.
You want to go to the R&B shit or what?
Before we go to R&B shit, I just want to do this one last sports story. Did you see the dude
from Michigan? Did
you see that shit, man?
Yeah. That shit was hilarious.
Hold on, man. I got to play this shit because I can't do it justice. Let's see.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And little was just like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
On the road, in this environment, when there were doubts, what does it mean to you?
Well, I thank the Lord. Well, I thank Coach Harbaugh. I love you, man. I love the shit out of you, man. This is for you. For this university, the president, our AD, we got the best players, best university, best alumni in the country. Love you guys. These fucking guys right here. These guys right here, man. These guys did it. These guys did it, man. All to him, man. Love you.
Thank you.
Dog. First of all, that nigga's never gonna get a head job anywhere. Like, nigga, you won one game, man. Like, I get it. It's a big game on the road or whatever. Yeah. But you gotta just be like, you know what? We have a next man up mentality, da da da. Like, and our players really responded, and we wanted to win this for Coach Harbaugh, whatever. You can't be this.
He was having a Rudy moment. Like, that nigga was having an existential crisis. And then he said, I love you to the reporter at the end. Yeah, like, who was that last I love you? He loved everybody. Everybody love everybody. Nah, man. Yeah.
Yo, do you remember the movie Can't Hardly Wait?
Oh, I love that movie. That's one of my favorite.
Do you remember
90s movies?
The reminiscing guy in Can't Hardly Wait is a black dude.
Yeah.
Nigga talked exactly the same way. Hold on.
Okay, man, don't worry about it.
I mean, I was like totally remember
the time that we were in the seventh grade and you like matched all our food on our lunch trays and you paid me $1 each. And I did. It was the best.
It's the same nigga,
man.
Yeah.
Like, Preston Myers.
Oh, man. What a
you can't
movie.
Go out like that. Oh, man. Like, I felt so, because I didn't know. Van Lathan posted the clip.
Yeah.
And his caption was, ha, 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 ha. It was just laughing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what the fuck happened? Did someone like try to dump the shit and then he missed and put it on the reporter? Like, right, what happened?
Yeah.
And when my nigga started talking, he said, I love you, man. I was like, oh God, no. No.
Oh, dog, man.
He's got to do this for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
It's not a one-time thing.
Oh, so how long is Harbaugh suspended?
He's done for the rest of the season. He can't coach enough for the regular season. Like, if they get to the playoffs, which, you know, they're doing great or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they only got that's like two more games then.
That's what, right? I'm saying though, man. Like, you got the Big Ten championship game and shit. Like,
right, yeah. What is he gonna do during the Big Ten champ? I mean, oh man, that's embarrassing. Yeah, Ryan Day is gonna run it up on them.
Dog, like, for sure. You know, we're running that clip over and over. If you're Ohio State, you gotta run that shit. Hey, man, you gonna lose to this?
Yeah, definitely.
You gonna lose to this? Ryan Day White. Nah, man. Like, that shit is crazy, bro. Nah, crazy. Like, y'all thought fucking the Oregon coach's pregame speech before they played Colorado was out of bounds for you non-sports people. Like, oh, I can't believe it or something. I'm like, do you know what these niggas be saying in locker rooms before the game? See, all that. I can't wait. I hope somebody leaks that shit. Niggas got to go in on him, man.
But you know what's funny is, like, at the end of the day, as much as we hate coach speak, that's all we really want. Like, we don't want niggas to do nothing else.
Bro, I say this all the time. I say this all the time, man. I always have two hats on. I got my fucking, like, basketball hat where I'm like, why are you saying that shit, nigga? Just say, like, it's the script that's been written for you for generations. This, that, that we respect them. Oh my God, da da da! But we all came together and mixed, man. Like, it's mad, coach. It's there for a reason,
right?
But like, from like, we niggas that talk into a microphone for a living thing.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, nigga! I want that real shit. I want you crying, acting like a bitch, and right. It makes my. It's like when James went up in the press conference, James Harden.
Oh, and said, I am the system.
I am the system. Like, the basketball, I mean, like, nigga, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Day one, just fucking be you, chill. Be like, I'm excited to be here and win, and I'm excited to come home.
Yeah.
But, like, the nigga that works doing radio and podcasts, I'm like, yes, nigga, keep talking. Keep saying dumb shit. Like,
speaking of coach speak, I think it's crazy, bro. And also speaking about niggas who pass away, how people responded to Bobby Knight passing away. And how niggas was just like, you know what? We didn't really fuck with cuz. Like, everybody kind of like, it was a general, and nobody had to say it. Nobody was on the internet talking shit about him or anything. It was just like, the sports center thing was very cute and quick. And all the podcast nigga was very, had their little segment and moved on about the day. You know what I'm saying? No, for a nigga who did so much for basketball and so much with the game, but like, niggas did not fuck with cuz.
So this is what happened to me. This shit happened, and we went on air on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
And my man starts the show with this long ass da-da-da, like, Coach Knight, and he grew up in Minnesota. I was a Minnesota fan, and so we played Indiana all the time, and all the heartbreak and the victories and da-da-da, and Coach Knight, da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, what do you think? And I was like, bro, I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like, I wasn't watching college basketball like that. For me, college basketball, I was watching college basketball, it was literally March Madness to see who was going to be in the NBA. Oh, Michigan got some niggas. All right, cool. Like, there's a guy, UCLA got a squad. Oh, like, I can't wait to see Baron Davis in the league or whatever. But, like, I wasn't out here like Jerv with Coach K and shit, acting like that's my daddy and shit. I didn't know these coaches. I didn't really care. College basketball is, for the most part, really boring to me. I care just about, like, who's coming to the NBA. So I didn't know. I was like, yo, I'm going to be honest. I don't watch any college basketball. And so, like, my memories of Coach Knight are literally when he choked the nigga in practice, because I remember that was big news.
Yeah.
And when he came back from this is the realest shit ever. He came back from the suspension for choking the motherfucker on campus at practice. He's walking on campus, and some dipshit kid says, "Hey, what's up, Knight?" And motherfucker grabbed him by his arm. He's like, "It's either Mr. Knight or Coach Knight. You don't just call me Knight." And I'm like, man, you know how out of control you gotta be? Or motherfucker's not like, "Now, Coach, this is pretty much you on eggshells. Got it." Walk out the room like, "Hey, you little nigga,
just grab a nigga up." Like, the next
and
day.
I'll never forget the nigga, because I was in college at the time when that shit happened. So yeah. I remember that nigga was on SportsCenter. Like, and then and I'm like, you know what, man? I wish that nigga would have punched him. He deserves he's a little shit for sure.
Yeah.
But also, Bobby, what the fuck are you doing? Right. So, like, but again, in the context of this man just passed away, these are not. Like, this is not input I can give
right.
to a national audience. Like, well, I mean, what do you remember, Coach? I remember when that little piece of shit, da da da. I also remember them niggas when he Texas Tech, them niggas was boring as shit, held the ball and shit. Also, I remember that nigga cut Charles Barkley from fucking Team USA.
Like, he did?
Yeah, man. He, like, the 84 team that he coached.
Yeah.
That won the gold medal at LA.
Mm-hmm.
The last two cuts were literally Charles Barkley and fucking my man John Stockton.
Wow.
And he kept like Steve Alford or some other piece of shit from his fucking, because he went to college. It's some dumb shit. Now, on the flip side, I got to give him props for one thing. In 1984, they got the
Michael Jordan 19- clip. That was the only reason I really brought this up, because the Michael Jordan clip was some of the hardest shit ever. And I had to retweet that motherfucker because I was like, you a real nigga for that. Because you probably said nigga too. You was definitely one of them motherfuckers that said some shit about niggas. But you saw that nigga and you was like, he got that dog in it.
You gotta remember, this is a guy who like thought NBA basketball was bullshit. And y'all, and the game has played 800 passes and hold the ball. And like, oh, this showboating playgrounds, you get that nigga shit out of here. Like you said, yeah, exactly. He probably thought that shit, right?
Yeah.
But, and yet, that nigga was like, nah, that motherfucker got it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a level of greatness. Like, when people talk about, like, is Victor Wembanyama ever? And like, nah, man. Like, there's another gear to this shit where the people who will be your biggest haters, before the shit even happened, already said. Think about that shit. Before the nigga played one NBA minute, that nigga said,
like,
you got it.
Yeah, if I had to start a team with anybody, it's him. I mean, yeah, I feel like LeBron might be one of a few other people. I don't know. Who else? Who else do you think that
you know? By the way, let me just say real quick, the motherfuckers that made the team 1984, right?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go from smallest to biggest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Alford, like I said, fuck out of here. Just because he went to Indiana. Leon Wood made the team, man. The referee, Leon Wood.
The referee.
Yes, Leon Wood made the team. Alvin Robertson, he's a real one. All right, cool. Vern Fleming, again, he was a real one. Michael Jordan, Chris Mullin, Sam Perkins, Wayman Tisdale. Them niggas was doing work in college.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff Turner was doing work in college. Joe Klein, Patrick Ewing, John Konkak. Joe Klein and John Konkak. John Konkak went to Southern Methodist, man. You can't tell me that nigga was doing work. No chance.
I don't know three or four of these niggas.
Looking,
I remember they was all college kids back then. This is pre.
Yeah, I mean, like, these are all college kids, but like Alvin Robertson was one of the great defensive players of the 80s. Yeah. Vern Fleming was like a buckets guy. He played for Golden State.
Okay.
Chris Mullin, obviously, you know. Obviously. Sam Perkins, you know.
Yeah.
Wayman Tisdale.
Obviously, yeah, I know Wayman Tisdale. I got a Wayman Tisdale basketball card.
Jeff Turner.
I don't remember him.
Jeff Turner, he was like a regular ass nigga in the NBA. Yeah. But like he got busy in college.
Yeah.
And then Joe Klein and John Conkey, two big white guys. That's it. That's all they brought to the table. So it's like you could have like for sure you could have found a spot for Stockton.
Right.
Hey, over it's Alford.
It's funny the development of the NBA because I remember like big white guy was kind of like a position in the NBA that's almost been phased out. We got like Mason Plumlee, but like there's not a lot of just
Alex Len keeping that
Alex Len keeping that
torch alive.
Yeah, but big white guy in the NBA was a subgenre that was really popular. That's like it's gone almost.
Oh man! All right, well, fuck it. That's gonna do it for us here. Shout out to John Gervais producing from afar. Shout out to Jay Skills and me. We were the two ones to hold it down. Trey tried to show up, but he couldn't get into the thing. Juju tried to show up, but he couldn't get in the thing earlier, too. So we apologize. But we'll all be back next week, and maybe we'll give Trey some more shit for his goddamn nigga tux he got on. It's like, I don't want you to be a nigga. I want you to be my nigga. It's like, who you call a nigga? You are.
With this nigga tux on.
Nigga tie on. This nigga tux on. All right.
All right.
Stay black.
Stay black, motherfuckers.